before we get into the message, for those of you that weren't here last week, this is a book that for each one of you. So this is a book. It's a daily devotional. It's 365 devotionals that I've written. Some guy named Todd. But it's not really what important who wrote it. The important thing is who put it together. Jeff, you put a book together. You know how hard that is. Donna did a lot of work. Thank you, Jesus. You don't know the struggles that Donna had putting this together, yet she was faithful. So when I say this is a gift from Donna and I, it truly is a gift from both Donna and I. It's the Word of God. I wanted to be able to teaching center. This is what my heart is. I wanted to have teaching in your lives every day. So if you weren't here last week to get one, please come up and get one. And when I say get one, I'm not talking about one for your family. Get one for each of you, because I like to mark things up. I like to highlight and write, so make sure you get one for yourself. So they're up here. Please take those as our gift. Everybody have a good Christmas? And that's the most lackluster response for Christmas. Man, really, that was it? Yes, okay, thank you. I know the back row. There was some excitement there. Well, it's hard to believe we're heading into a new year. I mean, I was just saying to Dean, I can't believe how fast 2017 has gone by. Here's the great thing about the end of the year. At the end of the year, we celebrate. We end every year by celebrating the birth of Jesus at Christmas. We're just rejoicing in the fact that God became flesh so that Jesus himself, that Jesus could become that perfect sacrifice for all who would believe and receive. That is a great way to end every year. So what's a great way to begin the next year? Well, traditionally, we tend to enter into every year with one or more spoken or unspoken resolutions. Resolutions that are designed to improve who we are in the year to come. I would suggest, and this is the whole premise for this morning, I would suggest that if we would make one resolve, we could resolve one area to strengthen one area of our life. If we could resolve to strengthen that one area, it would benefit us in every area of our lives. So what's that one area of resolution? Well, to really understand, let's get a little background. So we've just celebrated. Let's move forward in the timeline of Jesus' life. We celebrated his birth. We know that when Jesus became a man, we know that he was baptized by John in the Jordan River, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And then we know that the Holy Spirit sent Jesus into the wilderness. There, Jesus resisted every one of Satan's temptations by speaking the word of God. And then after that victory, Jesus departed from Jerusalem, from the area of Judea, and he went up north to Galilee. And that's where he began his ministry, in Capernaum. And one of the first actions that we see Jesus taking place or do as he starts his own ministry, one of the first things we see him do is the calling of the first disciples. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, two sets of brothers. We read about that in Matthew chapter 4, one of the places we read about it. Matthew chapter 4, let's look together at Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Now, when Jesus said those words, "Follow me," that phrase, "follow me," it indicates a request, but it indicates a request followed by an imperative. This is more than just Jesus inviting those four men to join with him. This is a request, but it also is, as a follower, if they're going to follow, there's an imperative that is there for them. If they're going to follow Jesus, they have to become disciples of Jesus. They have to be disciples. It's what they're called to do. If you're going to be a follower, you have to be a disciple of Jesus. In verse number 9, where we see when Jesus says, "Follow me," in that very word, "follow," in fact, if you would read that in the Amplified Bible, you will see that part of the description of the word "follow," part of that amplification, is the word "disciple." The word follow in the Greek means to follow as a disciple. Discipleship is such an important part of our life as followers of Jesus. So those four men, those two sets of brothers, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they immediately left everything and they followed him. Verse number 22. So we saw the verse that said, Jesus said, follow me. In verse 22, it says, they followed him. What does that word mean? Well, the word followed there, it means to walk the same road as. And it also means to be a disciple. Again, if you read that verse in the Amplified, you would see in the Amplification, the word disciple is there. It is an imperative part of being a follower of Jesus Christ. So these four men, these four disciples, they chose, they resolved to follow Jesus, to leave everything and to follow Jesus, but to follow him as his disciples. Now, as Christians today, we've answered the call of Jesus. We've accepted his invitation to follow him. We've answered the call, we've accepted the invitation. Doesn't it then make sense that we should learn fully to learn what it means to be a disciple, to learn what it means to walk the same road as Jesus, as his disciple? This should be our resolve heading into 2018. Let's resolve to learn what it is to be a disciple, to learn what that means, and then to grow in our discipleship relationship with Jesus. Because as we strengthen, if we will resolve to strengthen this one area of our life, discipleship, if we will resolve to strengthen our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ, it will benefit you in every other area of your life. You don't need all those other resolutions that you either speak or keep unspoken. You resolve to improve your walk as a disciple in Jesus Christ, and it will affect everything else in your life. Thank you. So what does it mean to be a disciple? If I call myself a disciple, I can call myself a disciple, but I don't want to speak that presumptuously. I don't want to speak that or profess that falsely. And I don't want to call myself something that, I don't want to claim to be something that is being presumptuous. I also don't want to be complacent. I don't want to be slow to learn what it means to live up to that full measure of discipleship that is expected of me if I've accepted that call and I've said I'm going to follow him. I don't want to be complacent to learn what that full measure is. I want to learn. I want to know what it is to be a disciple. So here's the first fun kind of interesting fact about disciple. But it kind of gives us, it's rather the foundation, I would say, for really understanding what discipleship is. And it's not something you're going to think of naturally, but it comes from the actual definition. So the Greek word that we read when we see disciple, the Greek word that defines disciple, that Greek word is actually tied to another word. It's tied to the word that means math, M-A-T-H. Didn't expect that coming, did you? Discipleship is tied to the word math, but here's what that word means when you put it all together. The word means the mental effort to think something through. Discipleship includes the mental effort to think something through. It means to be a pupil. It means to be one who learns. A disciple of Jesus Christ is one who gains understanding of the Word of God through Holy Spirit knowledge. If I resolve in this coming year, if I resolve to improve my discipleship relationship with Jesus Christ, if I make the resolution to walk the same road as Jesus as a disciple, if I do that, the first step in that for me, the first step in that process, in that resolve, the first step is learning to become a pupil, is learning to become one who learns. That requires mental effort. Now, please note, I didn't say that it requires mental effort. Intellect. It requires mental effort. Your level of intelligence does not matter. Your level of effort, that does matter. Now, I love that point because one of the things, one of the principles that I'm passionate, that I want people to understand, and I think so many of the body of Christ don't understand it or just don't believe it because it's not been their experience, but it is the truth, and it ties to this point. I love the fact that every single one of us, each one of us, can know and understand the Word of God. And so many times we think, I just don't understand the Word of God. Each one of us can and should. And as a disciple, we will know. We will know and understand the Word of God. Listen, I've told you before, the Bible, this is Jesus revealing Himself to us. Well, why would Jesus reveal Himself to us through the Word and then not empower us to understand Him through the Word? Part of discipleship is this. It's thinking about the Word. Because here's what comes from thinking about the Word. As a result of thinking about the Word comes Holy Spirit, revelation, and knowledge. It's mental effort to think something through. It's not your intellect. It's the effort. And we'll define that a little bit further in just a couple of moments. But this is Jesus revealing Himself. He wants us to know who He is. Here is the first resolution, the first resolve, the first resolution of discipleship. The first resolution is this. Decide to become a pupil. Decide to become one who learns with understanding. And now listen, if that has been a problem in the past, if understanding the Word of God when you read it, if that's been a problem in the past, there's a brand new year, all right? Resolve that in the coming year, make the resolution, resolve that you will become a student of the Word of God, and your teacher, your learning will come through the Holy Spirit. And even as I say that, there's some of you that are thinking to yourself, yeah, I just don't think I can do that. I don't think it's going to happen because maybe it's not been your past experience. You have the wisdom of the ages at your disposal. Now think about that. What knowledge, what wisdom is there that is hidden from you? What knowledge or wisdom is withheld from you as a believer in Jesus Christ? Nothing. You see, you can know things that other people do not know. Because you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have access to wisdom that is beyond what anyone can obtain over a lifetime. Because you have the wisdom of the ages at your disposal. Let's read this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to read together verses 9 through 12. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. We haven't even begun to comprehend the things that Jesus has established and has prepared for us, for you who love Him. You haven't begun to understand the depths of this Word. If you live to be 250 years old, you still will be learning from this Word. The things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Good news, you've got the Spirit of God in you. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. It's the spirit of the world that says that you're limited and you can't understand this. You've got the Spirit of God, which knows the heart of God and the mind of God. You have the wisdom of the ages at your disposal all the time. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Again, Jesus isn't going to reveal Himself to us through the Word of God and then not empower us to understand Him through the Word of God. We need to change our level of expectation. And if you think that you're receiving and understanding the Word of God and knowing it now and you're excited about it, fabulous! Raise the level of expectation. I don't care. You might think that you are flowing freely. Expect even more. Because He always has more. There's always more for us. We can understand things that will amaze you and astound you. I can look at any one of you in the eyes and tell you, he will show you and reveal things to you that will astonish and astound you. That's what I want in 2018. I want to be astonished. I want to be astounded. Now, let's go to the next verse, verse number 13. But I'm going to show this to you from the Amplified Bible. 1 Corinthians 2:13. And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. Let me read that again. Combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. The wisdom of God is revealed to you. You can know what is otherwise unknowable. You and I can know what is otherwise unknowable. You have the wisdom of the ages at your disposal. That phrase, wisdom of the ages, man, that touches me in my soul deeply. I've never said this to anyone before. And I almost told you once before, and I hesitated and I didn't. But now's the time, because I want you to hear this and understand this. One of the prophecies that I received years ago, bear with me. One of the prophecies that I received, it said, it was by a man named Doug Kiley. And some of the prophecies that he gave Don and I, fabulous to watch how those things came to pass. He said, and this is a pretty close paraphrase, but he said, Todd, you have the wisdom of the ages. You have the Spirit of the living God resting upon you to give you the word to speak in season and to speak that word to dispel and untangle the devices of the enemy. Now, I never spoke that to anyone. You know why? Because in here I thought to myself, well, that's presumptuous. How could I have the wisdom? Who am I to have the wisdom of ages? I was embarrassed. I would have never shown anybody or spoken that to anyone. But then I realized, that's not just for me. That's the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what we just read. If you want the wisdom of ages, we just read that from His Word. That's exactly what He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That is a promise for you. Now, He spoke that over a prophecy to me, and what I did, that quickened and awakened something that I then received. You can receive the exact same thing because it's His Word. Receive it. You have the wisdom of the ages. The Spirit of the living God rests upon you to give you words to speak in season, to disentangle or to unentangle all the deceits and the deceptions of the enemy. That is what's in us. That's why I say, raise the level of expectation. Raise the level of excitement for the Word of God. Every time I pick up that Bible, I fully expect He's going to show me something new and exciting. And you know what? Because I expect it, He does. One of my greatest joys in the last year is, this is going to sound counterproductive since I just gave you a devotional. Read the devotional. Use it. But don't limit yourself to that. One of my greatest joys this past year has been I get up in the morning, and the very first thing I do is I open up the Word of God, and I've just been going through wherever He tells me to go. He just told me to go through, well, I'm not going to tell you, but over the year, I have gone through, line by line, I've gone through, I don't know, probably 7 different books of the Bible. And I expect, every morning, I expect He's going to show me something. And every morning, I'll sit there. I told Donna a few weeks ago, I just write, I'll read the verse, and then I just start writing. And as soon as I start writing, boom, 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 more stuff comes. There was one time, I forget what book I was reading, but I read this one verse, and I told Donna, I just did not understand it. I got nothing out of it. So I just thought, well, I'm just going to write the obvious thing that I know. So I started to write the obvious thing I know. And you know what happened? Just by my diligence to start writing out what I knew, all of a sudden, I had 3 pages of notes of things the Holy Spirit revealed to me about that one verse. When I looked at that verse and I read it, I got nothing. There's nothing there that I got, nothing fresh, nothing new. But I expected there would be, and once I put myself to the task, I have books of just notes of going through books of the Bible, line by line. Expect He's going to show you and reveal you to you things you've never seen before. Get excited about what He's going to show you. Listen, I'm the one that stands up here every Sunday, but you have the exact same word And you have the exact same ability to understand the depths of the Word. If I could train anyone, if you would be willing, I could train anyone to come up here and do what I do. You just have to be willing to learn how to do some of the other parts. The Word itself, He's going to show you that. This is what our responsibility and our job is as we go out into the world. It's to have the Word, to have it ready. Have it ready that day. I've told you guys before, there is rarely a morning that whatever I read in the Word of God does not come to app. I can apply it somewhere in my life. I speak it, or it's relevant to me to speak and to share to somebody, either for me, usually for somebody else. That's my expectation. That should be your expectation. This is part of discipleship and being a disciple. I got way off course. You may say to yourself, you may say, I'm not a good student. And you know what? That may very well be true in the natural understanding of things. But that has absolutely nothing to do with the Word of God. Because we get our understanding, we get our spiritual understanding and insight. We get the understanding of spiritual things and spiritual truths from, what did we just read? We get it from the spiritual language. What does that mean? We're getting it from the Holy Spirit. You see, whatever natural human limitations you might have, they totally do not apply to the Word of God. It has nothing to do with your studying the Word of God. Forget your own limitations. Forget your own struggles. Those limitations, you don't have to be a good student. Again, I'm not talking about mental intelligence. I'm talking about mental effort. We just have to be willing to put forth the effort. You can understand the Word of God. You can understand the wisdom that is in the Word of God. You can understand all of those things in the Word of God. Just do the spiritual math of a disciple. That means when you read the Word of God, think about it. When you read the Word, just think about it. Just meditate on it. Just run it through your mind. You don't have to figure it out. All you have to do, listen, I may not be smart and brilliant. I may not be able to figure things out, but I don't have to. All I have to do is think about it. That's a choice. Every one of us can think about, just think about it. Meditate on it. You don't have to figure it out. When you think about it, when you meditate on it, the Holy Spirit shows you. He shows you things you otherwise would never have known. You would have never seen, understood, or known. This is such a foundational part of discipleship. Now, there's a further definition of discipleship. I'm going to read it to you. To be honest, I forget where I actually read this, but it's good. It says, discipleship is being systematically taught with proper instruction from the Bible. It's not saying with the Bible, it says from the Bible. It's saying the same thing. This is coming from the Holy Spirit as we read. Being systematically taught with proper instruction from the Bible with its necessary follow-through. What's a necessary follow-through? Life application. Let me read that again, the whole thing. Discipleship. Being systematically taught with proper instruction from the Bible with its necessary follow-through with life applications. What does all that mean? Two parts. First of all, it means that you as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you learn the Word line by line, precept upon precept. It's not an occasional thing. It is a daily building upon itself. When I apply myself to the Word of God, something amazing happens. When I apply myself, I can read the Word of God one day. I can read something in the Word, and the Holy Spirit will show me something that will astonish me, and I've never seen it before. Nothing is more exciting than when you read the Word of God and you know the Spirit Himself has shown you. You know it didn't come from your mind, it was from the Holy Spirit. I can read something one day and I can get insight that is exciting. And then the next day, I can go to an entirely different part of the Bible and I understand it because what I learned yesterday applies to what I'm learning today. And if I didn't have that understanding, that revelation from yesterday, I wouldn't be able to understand what I understand today. I'm astonished how many times this happens. Something I read and got yesterday, He'll take me to someplace different the next day. And because of what I knew yesterday, I now understand. I can apply it, and I understand that today. That is systematic. That is systematically having the Word unfold before. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Now, here's the second part of that. The second part of that definition is talking about life application. We have to learn to live out what we have learned. It's not enough just to understand the Word of God as a disciple. That's the first part. You can and will have understanding. But it's not enough just to understand the Word of God. I have to apply that understanding to my life and to the lives of those around me. You see, the disciple in Jesus Christ, he learns the Word, he understands the Word, and he puts the Word into practice. What does it mean to put the Word into practice? It means you exercise the power and the authority that Jesus has entrusted to you. Exercising your power and your authority, that is a part of being a disciple. Resolve to exercise that power and authority. We read that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Resolve in the year to come. Resolve to grow as a disciple. Resolve to grow as a disciple by exercising the power and the authority that Jesus has transferred to you in his name. Because there's lives out there. Lives should be changed around you because you're a disciple. Lives should be changed because you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, here's one of the more difficult parts or aspects. Maybe I'm speaking for myself, but this is the really hard part of discipleship. It's setting aside self-interest, desires, ambitions. It's making his desires my desires. Discipleship is yielding my will to his will. It is forsaking self so that I can learn to listen, and listening to hear with understanding, and then hearing and understanding, obeying. Hard to do. I'll take it a step further. Discipleship is the renunciation of self. And then identifying yourself with his death on a cross. This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Jesus is our example. He's our example in this life. And guess what? Jesus didn't choose the cross. Jesus was obedient to the cross. He didn't choose the cross. Listen, this is Matthew 26, 39. He went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as your will." Jesus is our example. Sidebar, one of the favorite and most impactful places, if you ever go to Israel, I love the Garden of Gethsemane. You're standing right there and you can just picture Jesus at that moment. Jesus as God in the flesh, wanting, if there's another way, God, let's do it, but yielding his will as a powerful place to read the Word of God and see, picture in your mind, you can see, you know you're right there. It's not the Garden of Gethsemane, that whole area. That whole area of the Mount of Olives is not that big. You know, somewhere in this area, you can picture and say, I could see him sitting right there and doing it. It's powerful. But that's the example that Jesus gave us. He was obedient, resolved to take up your cross daily and follow him. You know, we hear that verse a lot, and it sounds really cool, doesn't it? Take up your cross daily and follow. I mean, we hear that a lot. It sounds really good. But what does that actually mean? Well, that's part of what we learn by being a disciple. As we grow in discipleship, we learn what that means. Here's an important part to understand. Your cross is anything that the Lord gives you daily. Anything the Lord gives you daily to do that is not your choice, it is not your will, and it is not your desire. Take up your cross daily and follow him. That's part of what discipleship is. I can call myself a disciple in Jesus Christ, but I speak presumptuously if I'm not willing to deny myself, to set self down, and learn to listen, to hear, and to obey Him. This is taking up your cross. For me to take up my cross, I need to know every single day, today, tomorrow when I get up, I need to know what is Jesus' will and what is His desire for my day. And then I need to make that will and that desire my will, my desire. That's taking up the cross of Jesus Christ. Here's another part of discipleship. It's resolving to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in His strength and not my own. Because in my own strength, the flesh is weak. The flesh is always going to follow after its own will, not the will of the Father. Remember, Jesus' own disciples, some of His own disciples, turned away from Him and departed from Him when His teaching got hard. Jesus taught, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, there is no life in you. Now, Jesus, of course, was talking about his coming sacrifice and what we honor and celebrate as communion. But when some of His disciples heard that, hearing that, they turned and they departed from Him. Listen to how far their departure was. This is the way it reads in John 6. This is verse 66 and 67. From that time, many of His disciples went back. So they heard that teaching, which was hard. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" The 12 stayed with Him, but make no mistake about it, it's not easy. It's not easy to be a disciple. I can't do it in my own strength. In my own strength, I will fail. Many people claim to be disciples in Jesus Christ, but discipleship requires sacrifice. I have to be willing and able to deny myself, set aside my will, my desires, and my ambitions. I have to deny myself and know and acknowledge and understand that the strength of my discipleship comes from the Holy Spirit that is in me, not from my own strength. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. This is the Amplified Bible. You're not going to do this in your own strength. But in Him, He's invested. Not only Jesus has revealed Himself, so of course He empowers us to understand. In the same way, Jesus is asking us to do the hard thing, to be a disciple, to follow after Him as a disciple, to make those sacrifices. You can't do it in your own strength, but that's okay, because He's provided for you the strength to do it as well. May He grant you, out of the rich treasury of His glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit Himself, indwelling an innermost being, your innermost being and personality. He's provided for you the strength and the ability to be able to follow Him as one of His disciples. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ is a rare thing. It really is. It's a rare thing even in the body of Christ. Because having accepted His gift of salvation, that means I'm saved, but that doesn't make me a disciple. A disciple is a choice. Just as Peter, Andrew, James, John, and all the other disciples, they had to make the choice to follow after Him as a disciple, to walk the same road that Jesus did as a disciple. It's hard. It is hard. You have to choose, and it's only by His strength you can do it. You've got to choose. It's your choice, though. I've got to make that choice. It's hard to be a disciple. And the truth of the matter is, there's going to be some in the body of Christ who turn away. There will be those who walk away, but we will not, right? We will not walk away. And as we learn what it is to be a disciple, and as we grow in that discipleship relationship with Jesus Christ, we glorify the name of Jesus. Just by your merely living as a disciple, you glorify the name of Jesus. But here's the other thing. You find honor from on high. You receive honor from above. I got a lot of verses for you this morning. This is John chapter 12, verse number 26. Again, this is from the Amplified Bible. If anyone serves me, bless you. If anyone serves me, he must continue to follow me, to be a disciple, to cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living. That is choosing to walk the same road as Jesus. And if need be, dying, and wherever I am, there will be my servant. There will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Resolve in the year. Resolve in this year that's ahead of us. Resolve to grow in your discipleship relationship. Resolve to cleave every day to Jesus Christ and follow his example as we walk the same road as Jesus. And the Father is going to honor you. That's always good. Look, I can't tell you what's that honor look like in your life. I can't tell you because it's going to be unique to you, but I can tell you this. When the Father honors you, it's going to be evident to you and to those around you. And when the Father honors you, it is going to stir something in you and to those around you. We just read John chapter 12, verse number 26. If you would read those verses that follow after that, you can do this on your own. If you do those verses that follow after that, verse number 27, Jesus actually says, he identifies, this is hard, what he has to do. And it's a struggle that he has. And then you see the voice of God himself, the Father, speak from heaven. And says he glorifies him. He has and he will again. And the Bible tells us that those people who are around Jesus, Jesus is as a man, as this flesh, he is identifying the same struggles that we struggle with. As we choose to be his disciples, it's not easy. And he's identifying that. But he still yields to the will of God, and the Father glorifies him. And when the Father actually speaks that glorification, it says in the next verses, those who were around him, some thought it was thunder, others thought it was the voice of angels. They didn't know what it was. Here's my point. As you and I, if we will decide to grow in our discipleship in the coming year and learn what it is to be a disciple, we bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ and the Father. Jesus will honor you. And he'll honor you in ways that people around you will know. They may not understand it. Those people didn't understand what they heard. They may not understand it right away, but they will be impacted and they will know. They're open then for your continuing to just pour into them as a disciple. But he will honor you as you live your life. People will respond. They'll hear. It's the honor that Christ brings to us. In 2018, in the year that's ahead of us, let's make it a priority to resolve not just to improve ourselves in our own strength and our own ability, but let's make it a priority. Let's make it a priority, a resolve, a priority resolve to grow in our discipleship relationship with Jesus Christ and to learn what it is to be a disciple. Amen? All in? Jesus, we thank you and praise you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you always reveal truth of Jesus Christ every time we open up your word. And I thank you that as we've read your word this morning, that it ignites excitement inside of each one of us to learn more. We might think that we're disciples right now, but I want to become the full measure of discipleship that you expect from me. Let each one of us have that desire in this coming year to learn and to grow, that we can each one reach that full measure of discipleship that you expect for us. That Jesus, you are glorified. That the world around us, the culture immediately around us is changed and impacted. And we thank you and praise you. And I know that you will honor each, your word, you will honor each of us as we do so. I thank you and I praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. I believe, look, I want great things for each one. I believe, I know. I'm not saying it's going to be easy in 2018, but I know that Jesus has great things for each one of you in 2018. Let's receive those things. Again, as we have this final Tonight at midnight, 1 year is ending, the next year is beginning. It's what I said when we started praise and worship. This is our last chance to praise and thank Him together. We're going to leave this year well by praising Him and thanking Him, even in the struggles. We're going to leave well so we can enter well into everything so that 2018, we're going this way in Him. Not just in what we receive, but more importantly, who we are and what we become in Him. Amen? Let's stand up and praise together.